podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. Today was a very interrupted day with several rain storms coming through Edgbaston in the second day's play in the England-India Test match. But what I thought was interesting about today, Simon, was that the play was severely interrupted and obviously curtailed. And yet, Test cricket has an uncanny knack, even though there wasn't actually that much play, of generating lots of interesting talking points. Where do we start?
Well, there are several places we could start. Perhaps we should start with Jasprit Bumrah's batting, because I think anyone who was here today will remember that over for a very long time. The over that Stuart Broad bowled to Jasprit Bumrah that went for 35 off an over in a test match. Can you remember, Yoz, what was the most expensive over that you bowled in any form of cricket, first-class cricket or short-form cricket?
This is really embarrassing. Yeah. This is a very embarrassing answer.
Yeah.
The answer is 16.
16, that's pretty good.
It just shows how the game, I know, but the game has changed. You know, the game, it just shows how much the game has changed. That was an over in a county championship game in which Graham Fowler of Lancashire hit me for four boundaries. And that's the most I ever conceded in an over. But, you know, one has to put the caveat in that I never played a T20 game, not at professional level. And, you know, six and over chasing was regarded as quite tricky. So the whole conception of numbers of runs per over, you know, when you're now, when you're bowled, I was expected to win a game, defending a final with 10 to win, defending the last over. I was expected to win that game and we lost. Well, that just shows you, no one would even... You'd expect to get 10 to win off two or three balls now, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So the whole thing has changed. But, I mean, 35 off an over in a test match is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, it was an amazing over. I mean, what did you make of the over? I mean, Stuart Broad was banging it in. Jimmy Anderson afterwards, you know, he was put up for interview because he took five for, of course he did, five for 60, 30-second five for in test match cricket. Incredible, really. Incredible stats from Jimmy Anderson. You know, but I said to him, you know, what did you make of the over? You know, from where you were watching, you know, he was once hit for 28 in an over by George Bailey. And that was actually the equal record before Broad went for 35. Robin Peterson was hit for 28 in a test match over as well. You know, what did you think of it? He said, well, actually, I thought he was a bit unlucky. What did you think?
I thought it was a fairly brainless over, to be honest. And I apologise for using that word because Stuart Broad is a smart cricketer. But I just thought it was telegraphed what they were trying to do. It was the same kind of thing as England did against India this time last year in August at Lord's, which cost them the game with Shami and Bumrah, the same, or two of the same three batsmen in the middle today. And I don't understand, and this is reflected by a stat that came up on TV midway through the morning that said that England are the worst team in the world at polishing off the tail. The average per batsman against England from numbers 8 to 11 is higher than any other team. And India, interestingly, are the best. They've got the lowest average of any batsman against them in the last four members of the batting order for the last three or four years. Basically, England do not polish off the tail effectively, and it's been an ongoing story for a while, very much highlighted last year at Lord's and even more so today. What I don't understand, and I look back at some stats today, because it was the Bob Willis Fund day, wasn't it, today? And I was looking back at some stats of Bob Willis, who was an excellent destroyer of the tail, amputator of the tail. And he did it basically, and I looked up the stats, by bowling fast and straight and taking the, you know, making the wicket your main target and trusting the fact that a lot of lower order batsmen didn't really fancy facing him and so tended to, you know, give it a wide berth and usually got out. So 65% of his tail-end wickets were bowled LBW or caught behind, which means he was targeting the stumps, basically. And I never understand, really, though I've been occasionally there myself, but I never understand why bowlers get this red mist when a tail-ender comes in and slogs them for a couple of fours or even one four, and they then resort to bouncers. And Broad was bowling to Bumrah with one slip at sort of third slip and about 4 men on the boundary in quite good seeming conditions. Doesn't make any sense. And Bumrah just took full advantage of it. Yeah, he was a bit lucky. He got a couple of top edges which went safely. But, you know, these guys, and we've said this several times on this podcast, these guys practice now. They know what they're going to. They know what they're going to get. They're going to get short balls. They're well defended. They're well protected. Have a go at it, and you quite often get away with it. And they did.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure that Stuart Broad got red mist. He might have done as the over went on. But it was England's tactic right from the start was to have a 6-3 onside field and bowl short. It happened to Shammy as well, and he hit three boundaries, two in the leg side, one in the offside, and England decided, yeah, everything was short to Shammy, and he was taking it on. Sometimes it was coming off, and sometimes it wasn't. And England might say, well, Stuart Broad might say as well, well, in the end, it worked because he played a sort of uppercut down towards deep third, and Jack Leach took the catch on the boundary. But they then had a new ball, and the same tactic was being employed. I thought, surely, just with Shammy on strike, you know, obviously before he was dismissed, just, you know, but why not bowl conventionally? Why not, you know, have the field up, bowl in the channel and try and get him out like that? Okay.
Well, totally. Yeah. There's a reason why the majority of wickets in Test cricket fall to the ball which is hitting the top of off stump, moving around a bit, and that's because it's the hardest ball to play. Yeah, okay, you know, a really fantastic bouncer can be also hard to play, but there are few and far between, and once the field is set and the batsman knows what to expect, he can handle it. So I think it's sort of really stereotypical and inflexible tactics which don't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it was puzzling. It really was. Especially, I mean, the thing about Shammy is the first three overs, we had that cat and mouse game where they were just taking, you know, one towards the end of the over, and then England would have two balls to try to get Shammy out. But then the message came out from the dressing room. There was a drink brought out to Jadeja, and there was a clear change in tactic. After that, they just took every run that was available. So there were, you know, situations where they had Shammy on strike at the start of the over. And again, with this 6-3 leg side field. Anyway, I mean, they might argue that it worked in the end. Shammy made 16 from 31 balls. He hit three boundaries. He was there for nearly an hour. England persisted with it. And then when Bumrah came in, the same thing happened. The new ball was taken by then, you know, when Bumrah came in. I mean, one thing I would say about it was it made for great theatre. And, it didn't seem like the most sensible bowling plan, but what it was dramatic. I mean, an incredible over. I mean, how can Jasprit Bumrah score more runs off an over in Test cricket than any other batter in the history of the game? I mean, it's a stunning statistic, isn't it? That, I mean, Brian Lara,
yeah, it is.
Brian Lara, yeah. And George Bailey were the two who'd done most before. They hit 28 off an over, Bumrah 29 off the over, and then there were wides and there was a no ball as well. And actually, I thought there should have been an extra no ball because Broad bowled a full toss just outside the off stump that looked clearly above waist height. And it was smashed for four by Bumrah. To me, it looked like a beamer, but it wasn't called. So there should have been an extra ball in the over as well. So it was an 8-ball over that went for 35 in all. I mean, there were top edges. There was one where he hoiked it into the leg side and he ended up on his backside. I mean, it's amazing stuff, really. If you haven't seen it, you should catch up with it. BBC highlights on the iPlayer, Sky Sports, whatever. It was just absolutely incredible. You could barely believe what you're witnessing. And this was a guy who was averaging two, not so long ago in his Test match.
Well, last year when he came into bat against England, last year he was averaging two, and he didn't have a shot in the book at all. I barely picked the bat up. He just sort of played French cricket. So it is remarkable. I mean, don't ignore the fact, perhaps, that the current Indian coach is Rahul Dravid. And Rahul Dravid is very astute at sort of bowling trends and what you know, teams are seeking to do and how they might approach lower order. And I know he will have been working hard with the lower order to make sure they can handle all that's thrown at them, because he understands the value of lower order runs from a both from a sort of quantitative point of view and also qualitative, in the sense that, you know, gives you momentum in the game and gives your bowlers a lift before they come out to bowl. By the way, I mentioned, you know, before that I had been caught up occasionally in those spells where bowlers can't get the tailenders out and sort of slightly lose their rag. I mean, my tactic was generally to only use a bouncer sparingly, rather than telegraphing it almost every ball. And my general ploy with sort of lower order players actually was a bouncer followed by a slower ball, because they're thinking, when they get the bouncer, they're thinking, well, he's trying to soften me up and then he's going to go for the fast Yorker straight. So I'm going to be ready for that fast Yorker and I'm going to drill it back down the ground, smack him over the top or something, if it's not quite a Yorker. So my thinking was, right, I go bouncer first, just to sort of rough them up a bit, and then bowl them the nice teasing slower ball full that they think is a juicy half volley aiming at the stumps, and they hit it straight up in the air. And it did actually work quite a few times. The odd one, the slower ball went for six. But mostly, you've got to just outthink them a little bit, rather than be too prescriptive, and stick to some balls that are going to take they're going to have a few dismissal options. If you're going with the short ball, the only way you can get the bloke out is caught, really. Whereas if you're aiming at, you know, middle and off or off stump, you've got bowled, LBW and caught. You've got to kind of go with all the dismissal options, in my view.
Yeah, you made the point that, you know, that the momentum changes, and it did as well. They got rid of Jadeja, and, you know, it's 9 down for 375. Well, bowl them out now. 375, not too bad. Okay, India recovered superbly yesterday, but then those extra 41 runs and the way they came as well, it just lifts a fielding side when they go out to bowl, and it lifted Bumrah as well. I mean, they were slapping him on the back as he made his way up the steps. You know, they were laughing in the Indian dressing room. It must have been a tremendous atmosphere in that dressing room when Bumrah came back, not out 31 from 16 balls. Four fours and two sixes, so 416 all out. And of course, what we haven't even mentioned, Ravi Jadeja yet, making his first Test 100 outside of India. He is, goodness me, he is such a good cricketer, Ravi Jadeja. You know, wickets at 24, 240 odd Test wickets, and runs at 36. I mean, that's a pretty good combination. And he can field as well. I mean, he's a gun fielder.
Not
I mean,
off.
What's not to like about Ravindra Jadeja?
Best celebration of a 50 and 100 in the game as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
that whirring bat.
Yeah.
I don't know, fantastic cricketer. There's not much to add. You know, he's just a really brilliant all-round player who's batting. I think he's, ever since, I think Ravi Shastri actually encouraged him to take his batting more seriously when he was coach. He's had a great track record in first-class cricket with three triple centuries, but he never ever really took that into the Test game. But I think over the last couple of years, he's applied his batting much more sort of forensically, applied some practice methods to it, and taken it a lot more seriously. And he's a proper player. He's a top plot player. I think 36 is probably, he should improve that average. Mm. It could creep up to close to 40, really. There's hardly a weakness there. It's fantastic.
Well, he plays splendidly. And India, 416 all out. So those runs in the bank. And then came England's batting effort. And it actually just felt that England were under pressure. You know, that the way the morning had gone. And, of course, there's some rain around as well. So it was a stop-start situation. But, you know, the top order again, up against Bumrah, Lee's castled, and then Zach Crawley. We've seen it so many times already in his Test match career. And Andy Zaltzman, our scorer, came up with some remarkable stats about his run since his 267. I think it's 33 innings, and he's averaging 18. And in, I think, 20 of those innings, he's failed to reach double figures. But he got massive backing from Ben Stokes before this test match. I mean, I just don't know what they're going to do. I mean, can you keep on backing him, picking him? Because he's also one of those players that you feel that if he does get a score, there might be three or four, five low scores just round the corner as well because of the way he plays. And that seems, you know, you can't always predict the future. Do you know what I mean? That there's a sort of vulnerability.
I tell you what I think. I think I know what he should do, actually. And this isn't a silly suggestion. I think he should go and talk to Kumar Sangakkara. Because the thing about Sanger is he really understands about how to play the moving ball. Probably better than anyone I've ever spoken to. And one of the things that has been really noticeable in the way that both he and Ollie Pope have got out caught in the slips is that they try and hit the ball down the ground with a straight bat when it's moving. And that is fatal because the ball is moving away from that plane of the bat. So you've got to kind of go with the movement. And actually, Crawley on the leg side was doing that today. He was, when the ball was angled in towards middle and leg, he was working it with the movement and playing some quite nice shots. But outside off stump, he still goes with this big, rather heavy-footed straight drive or extra cover drive when he would be better off doing what Joe Root does and sort of squirting it squarer. And I think that's one of his problems. And maybe, obviously, he's picking the wrong balls to drive as well, and he should just sort of bide his time more. But I think that actually the way he drives the ball with the ball moving around isn't going to help particularly. I mean, everything was in India's favour, wasn't it? They got the runs on the board. Then they had a new ball with clouds and the lights on. Then the rain came and they went off. And then the opening bowlers could come back refreshed and bowl again. But my God, they're good bowlers, aren't they? Yeah. And they made even Trent Bolt, who bowled superbly in that series, it made even he look less good, let's say, with Shami, just waspish movement and good pace and consistently at you. And he's learnt to bowl a little in-swinger as well as his out-swinger. He doesn't bowl wobble seam or anything, but he just switches the shine round and angles the odd one in as well as the out-swing. And Bumrah is so difficult because he comes from nowhere. He's like a bowling machine, you know, with no kind of preparation. He's just a stumble to the crease and suddenly this ball appears. And where he's so good... And actually, this is where I think also Matthew Potts has got certain assets like this. His arm looks as if it's angling the ball in, like Courtney Walsh I was talking about the other day as well. It looks like it's angling it in, but he manages to get the seam to stand upright and make the ball shape away. So you do get drawn into playing at balls, which maybe you could leave because of his angle. But still, that's not excusing either Crawley or Ollie Pope, who played rash drives early on to a guy they should know makes the ball leave the bat.
Yeah, I suppose what's frustrating, perhaps, you know, Ollie Pope was, in a way, the more frustrating dismissal, because I think you sort of have a sense that if you can get to 30, 35 overs, the ball does go softer and it does get a bit easier to bat. And, you know, it is tough. Yeah, definitely, it is tough. And so you have to, can you play in that ultra-aggressive way in the first, you know, 20, 25 overs? I mean, Joe Root today, a really skittish innings from him as well. I mean, he came out after one of the breaks, but a massive drive to a ball that, you know, in the past, I'm sure he would have left. And he was quite fortunate to get to 31 before, you know, another sort of quite extravagant shot against Siraj. The ball seemed to follow him a bit, but the position he got into looked unusual for Joe Root, and he gloved it through to Pant. So, yeah, this sort of ultra-aggressive way that England are trying to play in. I just wonder, and I think we all felt this, you know, can you play this way against an attack that's just a level up from New Zealand? I think, you know, New Zealand have got, you know, Bolt was an excellent bowler, and actually that spell he bowled ahead in, it was beautiful that in the first innings, getting the ball to swing in, but he didn't quite have that support from the others, whereas here, this Indian attack, you just feel that there's that real quality. Again, the conditions were good, but there's that sort of, they got more bases covered, really. You know, you got five class bowlers in that Indian attack. Five really solid, you know, good Test match cricketers. And you know, can England play that same way? Well, they're 84 for five again, Yoz. You know, they're five down. It's a bit like, well, you know, they got out of this situation a few times this summer. You know, get out of this against, you know, I think an Indian side that are a level up from New Zealand's bowling attack.
Definitely. New Zealand, by the way, would have been better if Kyle James had been fit.
Yeah.
Then they would have had a pretty potent
attack. Yes, they were hampered. You're right. Yeah, they were.
Really fit in that series. Yeah. But I think the message from how to play this attack is from Johnny Bairstow, who I thought today was immaculate. He defended the ball brilliantly. And I really mean it. He was in fantastic positions to defend some very difficult deliveries. I don't think he played and missed. He pulled the odd one out to the boundary, but he didn't look to be ultra aggressive. He looked to be very respectful, actually, but in a positive way. I thought he looked absolutely secure and seemed to have time to play. And I think he will bide his time. Obviously, he needs someone to stay with him.
So he adjusted.
It's going to be Ben Stokes.
Yeah. So he adjusted then, Yoz, didn't he, Johnny Bairstow?
I think he did. Yeah. I really think he did. He played a very sort of responsible and careful, but not negative or tentative innings.
Mm. Yeah, 12 off 47 balls.
Yeah, you know, he showed that they could be defended. You don't have to just think, well, there's a ball with my number on it, I'm going to just play shots until my luck runs out. He recognised that you could stay in, and if you applied yourself, left the ball well, defended strongly, and picked up the odd single here and there, including one off the penultimate ball, which meant Stokes had to face the last ball of the day. But no, they should take a lesson from him and bat like that.
Yeah.
Because he was excellent.
Were you ever a night watchman?
I ever a night watchman? Oh, my God.
I thought you were. Yeah. Well, don't tell me all your stories about being a night watchman. But at what time?
They're nightmares. They're not stories.
Okay. At what time did you go in normally? With how long left?
20 minutes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, because interesting, wasn't it?
Probably at the most.
Yeah, interesting today. I think there were about 22, 23 minutes left when Jack Leach came in. It felt like quite a long time to survive against, you know, this top-class Indian attack. I suppose you could argue that it worked in a way, because although Jack Leach got out shortly before the close, it meant that Ben Stokes only had to come in and face, well, he ended up facing four balls. So he, in a way, did protect him. And, you know, if Ben Stokes had been out in those last 20, 23 minutes tonight, then England would have been in a real mess, wouldn't they? I mean, as it is, they're still just about clinging on this Test match with Bairstow and Stokes together and Sam Billings to come. But, I'm a bit surprised to see Jack Leach strolling out there. But at least Stokes is back for more tomorrow. It does feel as if it's Bairstow and Stokes or bust a little bit for England in this Test match. They're still a heck of a long way behind. 332 runs with five wickets remaining. But, you know, as you said, they've got out of it quite a few times this summer. I wonder whether they will against this Indian side.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow, weather permitting, to get a full day's play in, and we'll see how England get on. And we'll be back with you this time tomorrow to review the day's play. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.